Good evening and welcome to the Sporting KC Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Dave Borchard, in place of Nate Bucati tonight. Thanks so much for tuning in alongside Carter Augustine. What's up, my friend?
Davey, good to see you, man.
You too, man.
Been a while.
Yeah, it's. I wish we had a better game to talk about.
Yeah,
but
that's the problem, isn't
it? You know what? What can you do? It was not that Sporting played a bad game, but they gave up a goal on a ball crossed into the box, which has been a bit of a problem this year. And then a boatload of chances, but I guess not enough really good chances, right? And the few chances they had, we were talking about this before the show. Latif Blessing had one right at Tim Howard. Benny Failhaber had a shot that looked like it had a chance. They got blocked by one of the central defenders who had a really, both of them had good games for Colorado.
Yeah, they both played well.
And then otherwise it was just long-range shot after long-range shot, and a few of those were close. I know Sess clanked off the woodwork in the 92nd minute. But otherwise, it's, you know, the first game Dom Dwyer missed, Blessing stepped up and got the brace and I think stunned everyone. And he just hasn't been able to make that same impact. Not to say you'd expect him to get two goals a game, but it's pretty clear with Dom out, they're still kind of searching for who's going to ignite the offense, especially in the final third. They got lots of chances, but only two shots on goal. And at the end of the day, the two biggest stats probably are goals and then shots on goal. And those two kind of go together. Sporting, I think, 26 shots or whatever, but only two shots on goal.
Yeah, 24. That's crazy. Yeah, just two of them on goal, and certainly they'll have to convert better or turn those chances into better chances if they want to win on the road, which has been a problem this year, is the road form. They got that really impressive win up in Portland, but you know, other than that, good draw in Orlando, but coming off two tough road games. You know, it was a tough month of May as well. So many road games that they had to go through.
Yeah.
So it's been a bit of a slog in the schedule, but I think that's a good point on Latif Blessing. That good game against Orlando maybe belies the fact that, you know, he's still a young guy coming into this league from a foreign country, and still, you know, as a small guy too, still some stuff to learn about this league. He's still, you can see there's a threat there.
Yeah.
But you're right. You know, without Dom Dwyer, the team does go down a step. You hope Diego Rubio can come back here pretty soon. That'd be, I think, a great boost to the team.
I agree.
Because I think he was looking pretty solid in the games leading up to his injury. So if he can kind of regain that form, that'd be great. And then maybe they'll have another option off the bench in cases where Dom Dwyer isn't available.
Yeah, we should mention Tim Melia joining us here in about 10 minutes or so. We'll talk to Tim, one of the top goalkeepers in Major League Soccer this year, so stay tuned for that. So Rubio's interesting. He's a guy that he struck me as you saw the flashes, like as far as just getting a chance and finishing it. And this is not a great comparison, but he sort of reminded me of like a poor man's Christian Namath, as far as like a guy that if he got a chance, there was a pretty good chance he was going to finish it. And he didn't show that every game. He wasn't a dominant goal scorer or anything. But yeah, he certainly looks like a guy that could fill in if needed, if Dom couldn't go, or say he gets called up to the U.S. later this summer, which we're hoping to see. But he'd also give them another body off the bench. And I think that's something that the team has certainly found a good starting 11 when everybody's healthy. But if this team is losing and they need a goal, I mean, Sooney hasn't done much yet this year. Shallowy hasn't done much yet this year. I think Blessing has some potential. And I think late in games, he could come on with the speed and maybe cause some problems. But I think depth on the bench when you need a goal, I think that's been part of the problems for the road woes. I mean, the other night with Dom out and Blessing having to start, and Sporting needed a goal, there wasn't a lot of good answers sitting on the bench.
Yeah, I will disagree a little bit just in terms of from last year to this year. I feel like there is a big improvement in terms of the bench depth. But you are right. They haven't shown a lot in terms of being able to come off and create goal-scoring opportunities, especially on the road. And this is, you know, it's kind of a recent trend, but I feel that Peter Vermes and his teams have been pretty good on the road throughout his tenure. But just recently, they just haven't been able to find those results that they need. But you're right. Getting Rubio back will definitely improve the bench, but he's not there right now. And in terms of that Colorado game, really frustrating to watch. And like you said, the goal coming from a set piece like that, a set piece that probably wasn't a foul. I didn't think it was a foul.
Yeah, it was. I thought, you know, at the end of the day, I thought Baji did a good job putting himself in a position to get contacted.
Sure.
It may be from the angle where the referee was. Maybe it looked like a foul. But certainly, Ike was running for the ball, and he got cut in front of, right?
I mean, and then he kind of throws himself back into.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a pretty brutal call. But then you have to defend the set piece, and that wasn't the first time in that game where Colorado didn't really do anything except they would get a set piece up the pitch, and almost every single one of them was dangerous. I think the marking in the box wasn't the greatest on the goal. You know, Ilya he's close to him, but he allows that stooping header. And so it's, you know, what a great story from Courtney Ford to get his first goal with his mom in the stands. And I think Nate did a good job explaining that whole backstory on the broadcast. And gosh, Ford played really well the entire game.
He had that
last ditch challenge on Gerso in the box. That was fantastic. But yeah, you just, that's a tough one on the road. You get so much possession and just don't create enough chances for yourself and give away a tough one on a set piece.
Well,
it's a tough 1-0 loss.
It is, and you know, you're going up against a last-place team who's really struggling and is not playing with confidence, right? I mean, Sporting, on paper, you would think that's hopefully a 0-0 draw, worst case. I mean, the way Colorado was playing and the way Sporting has been playing overall this season, I mean, Colorado had no momentum. I think if they don't score in the 11th minute, I think maybe it is a 0-0 draw, or maybe Sporting finds a way to get the win. So I was disappointed by that for sure, but, you know, it does happen. And like you said, I believe that was the fifth game in 20 days, and four of those five were on the road. I mean, it was a very busy part of the schedule for Sporting KC. So the other thing is, I think Peter Vermees was smart, and we had talked about a lot in the final whistle, how are they going to break up this team a little bit? They can't keep running out the same 11 every single game, and they've chosen to do it on the road games as opposed to the home games. So I think it's been smart saying we're going to keep Children's Mercy Park a fortress, and we're going to get 3 points every single time out, which is what they're pretty much doing. But it makes them a little more vulnerable on the road when they're running out two or three substitute players in several of the road games in May. So I think that was part of it too.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's been a big emphasis this year. I think you can tell that it's a focus to try and play your strongest unit when possible at home. And that's why they're 5-0-1, still undefeated at home. And that's a nice platform to build your points on throughout the season. That being said, if you want to get one of those playoff home games or even a bye, 1-4-3, probably not going to do it. You probably have to bang out a couple more wins. So we'll see if that improves with throughout the season. And like you said, when those games kind of all stick together, you need to prove the squad depth, and some guys just haven't taken those opportunities.
Well, the good news, Sporting KC had four road games in May. I think the most they have any month the rest of the year is two, so they won't have to worry about a stretch like that the rest of the way.
That is good news, isn't it? Yeah, that's a good stat, and so that maybe this is the toughest travel month for them all season. And also, they've played 14 games, which is the most in the conference, and we've talked about in the past, games in hand don't always necessarily result in points, and so we'll see other teams start to have their fixture lists congested towards the back end of the season.
I'm going to ask you about injuries, even though I know you probably don't know much, and if you do, you may not be able to say anything, but Dwyer, is it you feeling legitimate day-to-day on him? Is there any concern this may be a more serious injury? And then we mentioned Rubio. I've heard talk about him coming back this summer. I'm not sure if that means we'll see him in the next few weeks, if we'll see him once towards the end of the summer. You have any idea on the time frame with him?
I don't. I think, you know, it's an ACL injury, and just based off the numbers of the months and current ACL recovery times.
What, he was like October, right?
Yeah, so you put him around June, right? It would be ish when he could start getting back. So we'll see if he can match that timeline. I know he's dying to get back out there for sure. So that'll be, hopefully that's, he can start to work his way into the picture in June, you know, so he can maybe get some good practices before the Gold Cup break. And then, you know, if he can get some practices or maybe even some game time before then, that'd be perfect to integrate him throughout the Gold Cup break and then into the following weeks after that. I think it'd be really good timing. So hopefully he can maintain that schedule.
And with Dom, are we thinking it's still nothing to really freak out about if the fans at home are wondering about him missing two straight games?
Sorry, man. I got nothing there.
No, fair enough. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just reading the press release here. He's listed as day-to-day. He's been questionable both games.
Yeah.
I read that on the surface to be true and saying, Because normally, I mean, if it's something where it's a bad sprain or it's a minor surgery, the team will come out and say he's going to be out 4 weeks or he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So,
and the thing was, the first game was in Vancouver on turf. So, you know, that I think is, you can understand them trying to save guys. Like, they didn't play Icopar in that game either. And I think the turf would have something to do with that. But a little more curious in Colorado. But, I'm beholden to those day-to-day reports as well.
All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk to one of the best goalkeepers in Major League Soccer, Tim Melia, number one in MLS with 7 shutouts, also number one with a 78.2 save percentage, and the number two goalkeeper in the league in terms of goals against average, 0.71. And I'll say that number could have been lower because several of the goals that the team has given up this year, Tim Melia could have done nothing about, but he made some incredible saves. So he's been off to a great start to the season, and we'll talk to him coming up next. We'll also take your calls later, so stay tuned for that. Sporting KC coming off a 1-0 loss to Colorado. They're back at home Saturday, 4 o'clock, against Expansion Minnesota United. And Sporting KC riding a 15-game home unbeaten streak. Going to be nice to get back inside the friendly confines of Children's Mercy Park. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk to Sporting KC Tim Melia. That's coming up next. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sporting Kansas City Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Dave Borchardt, filling in tonight for Nate Bucati, alongside Carter Augustine. Sporting KC back in action Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock, at home against Minnesota United FC. Sporting looking to get some revenge after a tough road loss a couple weeks ago in Minnesota. And joining us now, one of the top goalkeepers in Major League Soccer, Sporting KC starting keeper Tim Melia. What's going on, Tim?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well, man. Are you guys, I know that was a really frustrating game last weekend. Are you guys kind of put that one in the rearview mirror?
Yeah, it's already behind us. Disappointing result. I think more about just a little, you know, when you have the opportunity to play a team that's sitting on the bottom of the table, they're vulnerable. And even though we were at their place, I think it was a lost opportunity for us more than anything. But I thought we played really well. SKC Nation was out there supporting us in huge numbers. We love to see that on a road trip, and we appreciate that type of support. But the game is forgotten, and now we have our next task, and we get, you know, some home cooking back at Children's Mercy Park, and looking forward to getting back out there against a team that we had an unfavorable result a few weeks ago, like you said.
And Tim, what's it like having over 70% possession on the road, and then also how do you turn those 24 shots into more than 2 shots on goal?
I think it's our style of play is really starting to come out. You're really starting to see the capability of our possession, and we are going to create chances, and we are getting in really good spots. You know, maybe one or two things are a little bit off, but it's still very early on in the season, and it's an extremely difficult when teams bunker in, as Colorado did, to break down and, you know, find space in between those lines. So I know the stats aren't great. You would think if you're acquiring those numbers that, you know, it would be an easy win, but it's really difficult when guys pack it in like that and get that many numbers from minute one behind the ball. I mean, really, really early on in the game, even before they scored, they were kind of just locked and almost in a 4-5-1 and just bombing it over the top looking for a counter. But we are creating those opportunities that are giving us the chances to have that possession, and if we can maintain that course, that's going to break teams down over the course of the season.
Well, you know, it's interesting what you just said, and I completely agree, and I was talking about that a little bit on the post-game show Saturday night, and boy, where's the entertainment factor, right? Like, I guess you give Colorado credit. Their fans probably go home happy because they get the 3 points, but I mean, they didn't have the ball at all in a home game. And like you said, even before they scored in the 11th minute, they weren't trying to have the ball. And it's the exact opposite way of how you guys play. I mean, at home, you guys want to have the possession and drive the game. And that's pretty much what home teams always try to do. You guys try to do it on the road as well, of course. But, man, I was just watching that thinking, even though they won, I can't imagine the Colorado fans really had an enjoyable experience at that game. I mean, you guys had the ball the whole time. It was crazy. You never see that on the road.
Yeah, but they got the 3 points, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, on that, though, Tim, as you mentioned, it's early days, and despite dropping those points, Sporting Kansas City still on top of the table. We haven't, in the West anyways, we haven't gotten a chance to talk to you so far this season. I'm just curious about your thoughts on the team this year, and then specifically on some of the new guys. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on the new number six protecting that back line in front of you, Ilya Sanchez.
Yeah, I think this is a season, you know, everyone can be excited for. I think we've had a pretty good start. The addition of Ilya in the middle, I mean, it's undeniable how talented he is. He is so comfortable on the ball. He is a release valve at all times, no matter where he is. Whether he's dropping really deep on top of the 18 to get us out of the 18 if we're playing on the back, or even in the middle of the field, you know, he's that guy who could roll off a player pretty easily and, you know, find that open guy. And then with the addition of the amount of speed that we have this year on the wings, I think has also been really, really good. Gerso obviously is having a good season. He's still finding his footing, and he's only going to get better and better. Latif is, haven't seen a lot of him. The fans and the sporting, I'm saying, haven't seen a lot of him. We see him every day. He's very talented as well. His speed is undeniable. You know, I just think with a lot of the new additions that, you know, it's building, we're in the middle of a process of figuring everything out still, and I just think that if we continue along the path that we're on, we're going to yield positive results at the end of the season.
And does it kind of feel like new additions? I mean, they're obviously not, but Matt Beisler and Ike Opara back healthy this year and playing together. I haven't seen that in the past couple of seasons due to some injury problems for both guys. How's it feel having those two guys? Obviously, Matt now getting called up again to the U.S.
They have a really good rhythm together. This is my first time getting an opportunity to play with Ike. Before I was playing, he had that injury. But the rhythm between them is very good. You know, they're a really good balance, a yin and yang almost. Of one's a little bit more aggressive, one's going to do aerial, one's going to balance the team out. And, you know, they're helping each other, opening each other up, always an option on the ball. It's been exciting to see it, and I think it's only going to flourish as the season continues and they get more minutes together. And it's probably been a while since Ike had a, you know, a long run of games, and he just gets better and better every game as well.
Tim Melia, Sporting KC's starting goalkeeper, joining us here on the weekly radio show. And another guy that's maybe a little more under the radar defensively is Graham Zusi. He's been heavily involved in the offense, flying up the field from that right back spot and sending the ball across, getting several assists and having several good shots on goal. But I think if you were a new fan of the team, you probably wouldn't see Graham Zusi and know that he hasn't played a lot of defense in Major League Soccer. You know, this guy has pretty much been a career playmaker, but he's slid in and done a solid job at right back. What has that been like for you watching him make that transition? And what do you think of his performance here early in the season?
It's crazy how easy it is for him. He's the type of player, you know, you can kind of just drop him anywhere and he figures it out because he is so good. The thing that's impressed me most about Grant is obviously he's a DP caliber attacker. And usually when you stick a guy like that in the back, you know, their responsibility on just dropping and stepping and maintaining a line and focusing more on not getting scored on isn't always there, but Graham's been the complete opposite. I mean, he has been so focused and balanced within our shape defensively first, and he's just another release valve similar to Illy, where you can put him in a situation that normally some fullbacks wouldn't be able to get out of because they don't have as much strength with their feet. You know, they're better at one-on-one defending and winning aerial battles, and Graham's that type of guy, you know, you can squeeze a pass into from a fullback position, he kind of wiggles out of it, finds space, and all of a sudden it just opens up space for the whole team.
Tim, on a personal level, I think some national media and fans are starting to notice your play a little bit more this season. Certainly the numbers are there, some eye-popping numbers in on your performances so far this season, already a couple penalty saves in there as well. Does anything feel different this year for you?
Not necessarily. I think it's just, you know, the whole group. You know, I'll always tell you, a goalkeeper is only as good as the team. And as we get more time together and, you know, adding a few new players here or there, I think our group's just coming together really well and everyone's having success and it's beneficial towards everybody.
You're a very humble guy, Tim, but we have to say that on the penalty kicks, certainly the goalkeeper has to get credit for those, right? I mean, let's be honest. That's like you might be lucky to stop one out of 10 of those, and you've stopped two out of three. You got to feel good about those, right?
I do. I wish I didn't give away the first one, but the Vancouver one was okay. And unfortunately, didn't lift us to get the result that we needed. But, you know, anytime you can save a penalty for your team, it's a good thing.
Hey, Tim, just talk to us a little bit about, you know, you personally. What do you like to do away from the field? Like, it's, you know, we're sitting here on Tuesday night. We're coming off Memorial Day weekend. Like, what kind of stuff do you like to do in your free time?
I'm kind of just a relaxed guy. You know, I actually just noticed that the new series of Bloodline was out, so I was going to attack that today and just kind of check it out. But for the most part, we're just pretty casual, hung out for Memorial Day weekend. We went down to Union Station, got to see the symphony and all that. It was really cool because we haven't been down there. We walked around Union Station, something we haven't done yet, even though we've been here a few years. It's a gorgeous building, and the more I learn about Kansas City, the more I love it. And we're just happy to, you know, be here and hopefully have as much success on the field as we can.
Hey, last question for you, Tim, and then we'll let you go. Give us a little scouting report on Minnesota. Obviously, an expansion team. They got off to a really bad start the first few games in the league, but they've been playing a lot better lately. We know you guys suffered a defeat up there a few weeks ago. Just give us a scouting report on them and what they do well and what you guys need to do to get a good result on Saturday.
Like you said, you know, they struggled early on. I think the Bobby Shuttleworth solidifying himself as a starter there has helped a lot. The additions of Cronin and Birch, two really, really solid veterans in this league that kind of calmed down and added a presence to their team. For me, I really like Ramirez. He's a tricky guy. He's a big guy. He's a good hold-up striker. He's someone who gave us some trouble last game. And then, you know, we got to make sure we're aware of where Eber was. He was running down our lines a little bit more than we'd like him to. But we're at home. Like you said earlier, it's our responsibility to drive the game. And if we do the things that we're really good at, if we possess the ball, we're clean defensively, and we put everything to this game, I'm hoping it's going to be a good result for our fans at home.
That sounds great, Tim. Best of luck on Saturday against Minnesota, and thanks a lot for your time tonight.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Tim. Take care. There's Tim Melia, Sporting KC starting goalkeeper. And I don't know if any of us saw this season coming, Carter. I think when Tim Melia became the starter 2 years ago, kind of took the league by surprise. I don't think there was a lot of fans that had never heard of him. And then he got a surprise start, got a shutout, kept starting, kept doing really well. I thought last year maybe wasn't quite as good as he had been in his first year with Sporting. And now this year, it's the best we've seen from him. I mean, he's legitimately one of the top five goalkeepers in the league. And, you know, after last year, I didn't really expect that. But he's been every bit as good as he was his first season with Sporting, and even then better on top of that.
Yeah, even better. You know, he did have some back issues last year, and I think that could have contributed. I think you're right. It wasn't as good as his first year. But then, yeah, this year he's been phenomenal. Some of the numbers, and we put him up during the broadcast as well. He's had – up until that game, he was had the second best save percentage on shots inside the box.
Wow.
Since Opta started keeping track in 2010. So, you know, that's up there. So it's not like he's getting these shutouts from, you know, the old Jimmy Nielsen standard where he didn't have to face face a shot for
zero shots on goal
for like six straight games or whatever it was. So, you know, he's doing a big part for this team this year. I think he should be a shoo-in for the All-Star game.
Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up in a bit. Sporting KC has eight players nominated. Who is most deserving? We'll talk about that and also take a look at Sporting KC, where they're at. We know they're in first place through 14 games, but are they the team to beat in the Western Conference? Is it Dallas who's been scuffling a little bit lately? And LA Galaxy back in the playoff mix somehow. Who would have saw that coming? Lots of stuff we can talk about, including U.S. national team with Graham Zusi and Matt Beisler getting called in, Roger Espinoza getting called into Honduras as well. So lots of topics. And we could just talk about Sporting as well if you want to talk about the Colorado game or the game Saturday against Minnesota. Phone lines are open. 913-3810-810 is the number. Again, 913-3810-810. You're listening to the Sporting KC Weekly Radio Show here on Sports Radio 810. Welcome back to the Sporting KC Weekly Radio Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Dave Borchardt alongside Carter Augustine. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our thanks to Tim Melia for joining us last segment. Best goalie in MLS? Is that, should we say that? Is he, like, you think legitimate discussion for the best?
In form? Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
It's pretty cool if you combine the two of the best center backs with the best goalkeeper. That's a pretty darn good starting spot for your defense.
Yeah. You know, I think in form, he's got to be up there. You know, Jesse Gonzalez has actually been, since he didn't start the year as a starter, and then he's kind of taken that over, and he's been pretty darn good for Dallas. But yeah, you got to throw Tim up there.
I mentioned this before the break. 8 Sporting KC players are on the fan ballot for the MLS All-Star Game, August 2nd against Real Madrid. Tim Melia, Matt Beisler, Aiko Parra, Graham Zusi, Roger Espinoza, Benny Failhaber, Dom Dwyer, and Gerso. Most deserving on that list, Carter Augustine, for an All-Star appearance. Who do you have to go with? You can't say all of them. You can't be that politically correct.
I like how, you know, some teams have only played 12 games so far, and we're already voting on it. That's just how these things go, right? Run down the list again.
So Tim Melia, Matt Beisler, Aiko Parra, Graham Zusi, Roger Espinoza, Benny Failhaber, Dom Dwyer, and Gerso. I'm gonna mark on my list the guys I think are kind of the cream of the crop there.
I think Tim Melia would be my, if I only had to pick one, if I could only get one vote out of those guys, that would be the one I would go for. He's been outstanding. What about you?
I think Melia is like the number one guy.
Yeah. Not saying there's only one deserving, but
yeah, you know, I think
this team is top of the West right now.
The other guys that would kind of jump to the top of the list for me would be, to be honest, both the center backs. I think you can look at the stats and see the difference Ike has made when he plays. They really hardly ever give up goals. And I think Matt's had a nice season too. I know he had some rough times last year, including, you know, getting benched for a brief period. He had concussion issues. So he was dealing with a lot of stuff last year and lost the captain's armband for part of the season. And I think he's really bounced back well. You can tell him and Ike play well together. And then I'd throw Dom up there too. I mean, when he's healthy, the guy's a goal-scoring machine. I know you can't say he's in form right now because he's hurt at the moment, but I think any of those four guys you can't go wrong with. I think they're all all-star caliber players.
Yeah, and so obviously it's good to have that many guys nominated, and that speaks volumes to how the team has performed so far this season. I think Aiko Parra, for me, would be the other one that really stands out. Been, like you said, so good. It's going to be tough for Dom, I think, because just so many forwards are playing so well this year. And he had a couple games off due to injury. But you're right. You know, when he's ticking, this team looks a lot better.
So let's talk about Ike for a second, because when healthy, you could make a case that he's a top 3, 4, 5 center back in Major League Soccer. But he's a guy that, unless I'm missing it, he doesn't get any buzz for the U.S. national team. He's athletic. He's in his prime. It's not like he's real old. It's not like he's real young and inexperienced. Any chance you think he might get a call up at some point, the way he's playing and Sporting KC, like you said, being the top defense in the league, arguably being top of the Western Conference? We know Bruce Arena has scouted some games. I wonder if a guy like Aiko Parra is on his radar.
You know, I would think he is. The one thing that's going against him, obviously, would be just that injury history, right? And I think that's going to be tough for Bruce Arena and anyone else in the U.S. setup to get past until Ike plays a good stretch of games. And so he's done that so far this season. I think his play will definitely have him on the radar. And I'm hoping that he'll be on the radar for the Gold Cup and maybe make that roster and try and fight his way back in. Obviously, you know, this guy, Aiko Parra, who was on the U.S., one of the youth international teams back then. I think I want to say the U-20s, but that could be wrong there. But so he has some youth international experience. He's not an unknown to the U.S. men's national team setup. Just a case of staying healthy. And I think if he plays this way like he is, then, yeah, I think there's a great shot at him getting back into the picture.
I think a lot of fans have been waiting to see what would happen with Dom. Obviously, he's not an option right now with his knee issue. But would you be surprised if he does not get called up at some point this year, now that he has the U.S. citizenship?
I think so, just based off the comments that Bruce Arena made a couple weeks ago and said he's definitely in the picture for the Gold Cup. So I think if he can come back healthy and the rest of this summer up into the Gold Cup, we could very well see him in the roster. And how cool of a story is that? I feel like that's such an American story, you know, obviously not born here, but coming here to make a better life for himself and finding a girl, settling down and having a kid here.
Yep.
I think it's just a wonderful story. So, you know, definitely rooting for him in that regard.
We know Bees and Zusi got called in. We'll talk more about the U.S. here in a second. Benny did not get called in. We were talking about that a little bit during the break. I thought when he joined the U.S. for the first time in a long time, right after Bruce took over, I believe he had one start, came on once as a sub, I believe. And my memory is he played pretty well in both appearances. But are you surprised he has not gotten the call back at this point? Not that he's been dominant in MLS, but he's off to another good start to the season.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's just you haven't seen Bruce Arena play with a number 10 all that often. You know, maybe he will. But then just the age isn't working for Benny in this regard either. Looking at the midfielders they brought in, kind of surprised to see Paul Areola there, although by all accounts he's playing well with Club Tijuana this season. But, you know, looking at the creative players in midfield, it's Nagby, Pulisic, and Fabian Johnson. So, you know, you don't see Sasha Kljestan in there either. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough one for Benny. I mean, obviously you'd like to see him in there, but it's going to be a tough one, I think.
All right, let's talk about the U.S. a little bit before we go to break. And obviously I mentioned Zusi and Beasley are getting called in. World Cup qualifiers coming up June 8th against Trinidad and Tobago, and then at Mexico June 11th, friendly against Venezuela before that. U.S. is currently in fourth place. Of course, the top three teams get automatic qualification into the World Cup. Before we get into these matches specifically, how are you feeling just about the USA overall right now? Are you still concerned about their chances of getting in? Obviously, it got off to a slow start with Jurgen getting fired because of that. Are you very confident they're going to make the top three, or what are your feelings right now?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. I don't know. You know, that they started off with two of their toughest three games, and so certainly the performances weren't there, and Klinsmann got fired. But it's nice to know that the remaining eight games that you have just really this game coming up in Azteca that's going to be the hardest one left, and then you've played your three hardest games in qualifying. So I'm confident. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, you hit on a good point of getting a couple of the toughest games out of the way early, and I don't know. I was kind of take it or leave it with Jurgen. I mean, it didn't bother me that he was let go. I feel like Bruce, being the coach he is with the experience he has, I think he'll get him in. I'd be really surprised if he doesn't.
Yeah, and that's what he was hired for, right? He wasn't hired for any long-term vision or anything. He was hired to navigate this hex.
So the game June 8th, the home game, Trinidad and Tobago, I don't know how we say it.
Let's call the whole thing off.
It's a must-win, right?
Yeah, must-win. That's a must-win. You have to win that one. They're playing in Denver in preparation for Azteca. They have the friendly coming up this weekend in Salt Lake City, also in preparation for Azteca. But you can't let those Azteca preparations put aside what is really, you have to win this game against Trinidad and Tobago. If they don't get 3 points from that game, I will be far less confident, because then it does become a bit of an uphill battle.
And, you know, these road games are so tough. I mean, even if you're going against teams who you think you're much better than, sort of like we've talked about with Sporting KC in Colorado, this World Cup qualifying, you go to these countries where it's life and death, man, and there's no gimme on the road. We can talk about the Mexico game here in a second. That's the exact opposite of a gimme, but it's the same thing going the other way, though. Trinidad and Tobago comes here. I'd be worried about a road game there, but the home game, you almost expect to win.
Yeah, and up until the U.S. losing to Mexico, they had been winning every single home qualifier for the last decade. So, you know, that's one home against Trinidad and Tobago. Yeah, you expect to win. You're right. The away games in CONCACAF, we've seen it with club soccer, and we've definitely seen it with the international teams. We saw it in that game going down to Panama last time around. That they're all tough games in CONCACAF because the travel is ridiculous. You know, you have to catch connections, and it's not nothing fun with the travel. You hear about the Panamanian fans waking up the players outside their hotel in the early hours of the morning. Like, that happens all over in CONCACAF.
But the fields aren't great.
The fields,
the fans are crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
the
transportation. Yeah, it's just everything.
Yeah, and so that will definitely come into play against Mexico as well. But before that, they need to wrap up those 3 points against Trinidad and Tobago. I'm pretty confident that they will. Like you said, it's going to be a tough challenge for Trinidad and Tobago on the road in the U.S. at altitude. That's going to be a tough challenge for them. So you would expect the U.S. to get all 3 points.
And in the Mexico game, do you think you go in and play defense, hope for a 0-0 draw, or maybe a counterattack goal? Or what do you think the game plan is going up against a very good Mexico team?
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the game plan. I think any point you get in Mexico is a bonus point. I think that's how every single CONCACAF team looks at playing at Mexico. If you can get a point there, that's a point you weren't counting on.
How about Zusi and Beasley as we wrap up this topic? Do you expect them to start? You have a guess on the starting lineup. What do you think about Zusi and Beasley?
That's a tough one, right? I don't think Zusi will start. It's great for him to have that versatility, and I think that's why he's still remaining in the picture. But Yedlin's back healthy. I fully expect him to start at right back. And then, you know, Zusi's listed as a defender even now, so I wouldn't expect him to see him in the attack. So I think that rules him out from the starting lineup. Going to be really, really interested to see who the center backs are. I think it'll be Brooks and Cameron, but I could maybe see old Bruce going with someone other than John Brooks in Mexico City, just because that's, you know, there's rumors now that John Brooks is going to be the most expensive American player ever. Evidently, Wolfsburg is on the verge of spending a lot of cash to try and bring him over. And he's a heck of a talent, but there's still those mental lapses. And that's something that you just can't have down in the Azteca. So, you know, if I could picture them starting different center backs against Trinidad and Tobago and then against Mexico, I could see him calling in a Beasley or even Omar Gonzalez for that game.
It'll be interesting. Beasler has experience down there, and he's gone down there and gotten a result.
Yep,
so too
does Omar. So that's, I think those are very likely. That being said, I would expect Jeff Cameron to play both games at center back. So there's just the one slot there that's still open.
It'll be interesting. U.S. back in action in the games that matter, the World Cup qualifiers, June 8th against Trinidad and Tobago here in the U.S., and at Mexico, June 11th. So U.S. currently in fourth place, and as I mentioned, the top three teams automatically advance to the World Cup. We don't want to finish number four. You're not out. But then you have a one-game playing game, and I'd hate for it all to come down to that, even though the last time Mexico was in Iran, they won like 7-0 at Australia or whatever.
It was
New Zealand. Yeah, that's what it was.
I'm trying to, this time around, I think it's going to be an Asian team.
Yep, that's right.
So certainly winnable, but you just want to avoid any and all chances there. The bummer, Dave, is that this might be the last hex that's any type of dramatic or consequential, because once they expand that World Cup, it seems like it's going to be pretty straightforward for the United States of America.
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessary. I mean, I know from a financial perspective it makes sense to do it, but it's not like there's not an excess of good teams not getting in, I'd say. I don't think it's a big issue in that regard.
Yeah, and this is a great topic, and I think the World Cup will benefit the tournament itself, because I think what it will do is it'll make it'll turn kind of a lame group game into another another knockout round cool game. But the problem is it's going to kill qualifying. So, I mean, the World Cup tournament itself, that one summer is going to be awesome, but this two-year slog that the hex is that everyone loves to watch, I know around these parts, that's it's going to be going away.
Yep. That'll be interesting. I mean, like I said, the financial reasons are there, and you just laid out it's going to make for a heck of a tournament. So I guess at the end of the day, for soccer to grow, you still need to capture those casual soccer fans and even more so the casual sports fans. And if you can make that tournament better, most casual sports fans aren't watching the qualifiers, to be honest. They may watch Mexico, but they're not going to watch a game at Trinidad and Tobago for the U.S. on a road game at 9 at night, some weeknight, you know. So, I mean, like, if you can make the World Cup better, that's probably good in the grand scheme of things for soccer. But for the hardcore fans like us, that'd be a little bit of a bummer. But, hey, if it makes it less likely the U.S. ever misses the tournament, I guess that could be a good thing as well. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk more Sporting KC. Phone lines are open as well if you'd like to join us. 913-3810-810 is the number. You're listening to the Sporting KC Show here on Sports Radio 810. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sporting KC Weekly Radio Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Dave Borchardt alongside Carter Augustine. Thanks so much for tuning in. Sporting KC coming off a 1-0 loss. Very frustrating game at Colorado over the weekend. They're back in action, a home game. Kind of a strange time, but I think a great time, Carter. 4:00 Saturday against Minnesota United. Love those late afternoon games.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one, but a fun one for those of us that are used to working the late games.
Yep.
So, yeah, might have something to do on the Saturday night after the game, hopefully after a 3 points taken home by Sporting KC.
That'd be great. And Sporting KC, almost every game this year, they've been getting the 3 points at home. Now 15 straight home games without a loss. They're going to enter this game on Saturday. It's going to be more than a calendar year since they lost a home game, which is, I love to hear that. What do you think has been the difference? Is there one thing you can put your finger on? Is it a matter of finally figuring out a way to break down these bunkering teams in the home venue? Because a couple years ago, when you and I hosted the postgame show every week, Sporting was the best road team in the league, but they were kind of an average home team. And now the script has flipped. They're still a decent road team, but now they're an amazing home team. I think if you had to pick one or the other, you'd love to make the home fans happy, and Sporting certainly has been doing that. But what do you think has led to this improved play at home?
You know, I'm not quite sure because it's tough to dissect this streak because it goes back a full calendar year. You know, so for the games this season, I would say there's a couple things that have made them pretty darn good and pretty tough to beat at home. First of all, they're not getting scored on.
Usually helps, yeah.
It usually helps. So you've got a goalkeeper in fantastic form between the sticks. Then you have the two center backs really forming up that partnership. And as Tim mentioned, you have Ilya playing in front of them as well. I just think as a defensive unit, that back six has been playing really well. And so that is a great thing to have at home. The other team's not going to see a whole lot of the ball against Sporting anyways. And so they're going to limit the opportunities there. And then I think another thing, and Tim Melia again touched on it, Jurso and his speed, that is such a big factor. Sporting didn't have that last year. And the ability for him to stretch defenses and get in behind at times, that really opens up the game for Sporting, especially at home. And so I think those have been two big factors. I don't know what sticks out to you.
It just seems like teams still are coming in and trying to defend, and Sporting has just done a better job of breaking those teams down. And once they get the first goal, it's not just Sporting's piling it on. I mean, they're getting two or three goals. They're not just getting a goal, then the other team comes out of their shell, and then it's a back-and-forth game. It's been just completely dominant. And the few chances these teams are getting, either Ike can hustle back on defense and snuff it out, or Melia stands up and makes a great save 1v1. So the defense is impenetrable, and then Sporting seems to have really found a formula on offense, but it seems to me like they need – I guess my only concern right now is – well, I have two concerns. One, I think defending set pieces and offensively, Sporting hasn't been very dangerous on set pieces. I think lack of size could be an issue there on both fronts. So that's, I guess, more of a long-term concern for me. But the other one is I'm worried about the offense when these first 11 players aren't all on the field. I think Jurso, like you said, is kind of that missing ingredient. He's added on to Benny and Dom, and he can kind of be that third guy that can make the offense go. But if one of those guys is missing, like we saw the last two road games, I think you resort a lot to long shots and fewer good chances in the box. So that's a concern I have, is you hope Dom will get back soon, because with Dom and Jurso and Benny, and all of those will still be here, they're not with the U.S., any of those guys, not that Jurso would be, but with all three of those guys, I think that's really key for the offense. I think you need that third guy. I think we saw when Namath was here and the team was struggling to replace him for a while, but when one of them's out, I think it's still kind of an average offense, and I'm hoping Dom will be able to go this weekend.
Well, that'll be the big test, right, this weekend, see if Dom Dwyer's there, and if he's not, will someone step up? They're certainly in great form. I mean, goals in three of the past four home games, and they've scored at least two goals in every home game dating back to, you know, all five dating back to Dallas. So they're scoring goals at home, and you talk about the offense not being up to snuff on the road in the past couple of games. Well, it's been a home offense all season pretty much for Sporting Kansas City. So I would expect very much of the same. I think they've scored, 13 of the 16 goals at home, something like that. So they're just excellent at home this year. And I think with or without Dom Dwyer, they'll do that this weekend too.
All right, let's speculate a little bit, because on paper, it's a game Sporting should win. You have Sporting as a dominant home team. We mentioned the playmakers that hopefully all three will be there for Sporting. Minnesota is an expansion team. They're playing better, but this still isn't a great team.
There's still four losses, two draws on the road.
But Susie's gone, Beasler's gone, Espinosa's gone. So those aren't necessarily the goal-scoring playmakers we're talking about. But who do you think fills those shoes? I would think it would not be Juliao, would be my guess. I'm thinking maybe Saad Abdul-Salam slides in at right back. I don't honestly know about the other spots. If Ellis is healthy, I'm guessing maybe he gets a look. And in the midfield, I'm not exactly sure what to expect. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good point on your end. That's going to be a tough spine to replace there. Obviously, Igor Juliao, his game this season that he played was against Minnesota, and he had a pretty tough time dealing with Miguel Ibarra down that flank. So
you're being kind.
Yeah, we'll see.
It was a rough game.
It was a rough game for Juliao. So we'll see if he's the one in there or if your prediction is right. If Abdul Salam comes in just based on the matchup, I believe Igor was on the bench this past weekend. I'll have to double check that. But
I'm not sure.
Nevertheless, I think Ellis is a pretty safe bet to start in place of Matt Beisler. But then who plays on the left? Who plays on the right? We'll have to see. I would assume Ellis would just slot in there. But yeah, then after that, who's in midfield? Probably Sonny Mustafar. You know, he's played a lot of games off the bench, come in to solidify these leads in home games especially. So I would expect him to be in there. But just to double back, both Igor and Saad Abdulsalam were on the bench in Colorado. So that's not going to help the predictions out any.
So what does your gut say on that spot? If you had to bet, who gets the start?
Yeah, that's a, you know, I think, man, on the spot, I think still probably Igor.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
That would be my guess. I mean, that is basically out of thin air because you just asked me to have a guess.
I love it.
Yeah, but, you know, just based on him playing in that first one.
Any chance you think Madranda might get a look in the midfield? I know he played there a little bit in preseason and hasn't been lighting it up necessarily up top. I wonder if he might get a look.
Yeah, that's an interesting shout. Maybe stick Sunni Saad or Shalawi or someone else out on the wing and shift him back in the midfield. I know that they rate him highly in his ability to play in midfield, so I wonder if he'll get a shot in there. It'd be interesting.
Well, it was good catching up with you, my friend.
You too, and I'm excited for this game this weekend. They I think will have revenge on the mind supporting Kansas City, because you say on paper they should win here. On paper, they probably should have won it in Minnesota as well.
For sure. Yeah, that's a good point. And again, it's kind of a different game time. So if you want to go out, get there early. It's a 4:00 start, and it looks like it's going to be around 85 on Saturday. So it should be a nice day. Maybe get out, do some tailgating. And like we said, you'll have the whole evening to do whatever you want. Hopefully we can be doing the post-game show, drinking some ice-cold Boulevard beer, celebrating the members' club with the Cauldron after a big Sporting KC win. Again, Sporting 15 straight home games without a loss, and they look to continue that all-time best club streak on Saturday, 4:00 against Minnesota United. Thanks to Charlie producing the show. For Carter, I'm Dave, saying so long. Have a great night. You've been listening to the Sporting KC show here on Sports Radio 810.